Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
It's nice to see you. So we have a seating together. We are Tetra Buddha Kanda. Hare Krishna. So I start, right?
Yes.
I start. Amaganti Nirandas Yaganandana Shlakaya Chakram Amritam Yiratas Maisi Guravina Mahasi Titanya Manobhishtam Stavitam Yena Mutale Swayam Rupagara Mayam Dharati Titanya Pramun Kinanda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Mazari Gaur Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare Rama 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 Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. So, I'm glad to be in Czech, since a long time I've not been there, and to see all the devotees, ladies, even children, sitting there happily in the temple room that I'm used to. I hope you're all well. There's this little boy. What's his name right behind you? What's his name?
Mina.
Huh? Mina Chaitanya. Why let the kids come in front for a moment? I want to see the kids. Oh. Hare Krishna. Hello. Hi Krishna, nice to see you. So nice. See the kids, that's the most wonderful thing. You know, that means the yatra is expanding in a natural way. So let me talk about this situation now. There is a Maharaj Parikshit, descendant of Pandu. He had two sons, and one of them was Randidev. And he was a famous king in the perfect sense. He was a Raja Rishi. That means he was a perfect king, a devotee. And this is actually supposed to be the system that the king is a very saintly person. Now, in Western society, we have this problem that our kings are not saintly. You see, in the Brahmins, actually, they live in anarchy. They have no social system. Every Brahmana lives for himself. And then the next class and society, they live in monarchy. Now, when Brahmin society fails. Oh, I have to stop something else to do the translation, right?
Well, it would be wonderful if you could pray to Prabhu. Or okay. I can try to do it simultaneously, but it has to be a little slower from your side. Because then it's very difficult. Slower, because if I speak, I can do like simultaneous translation, but then you have to speak a little slower. Otherwise, I'm not able to catch it.
Let me start again.
Okay. Yeah.
So, this son of Maharaj Parikshit.
Tento syn Maharaja Parikshita.
Randidev.
Byl Rantideva.
Okay, that's my marriage.
And Rantidev, he was a great king.
A Rantideva byl velký král.
And the thing is, in Vedic society, the king was not a person who was just enjoying the citizen. He was the number one servant of the citizen.
Takže král nebyl ten, který by ničil ty obyvatele, ale sloužil všem obyvatelům.
He was worshipped because he was a great devotee.
A byl uctívaný, protože byl velkým oddaným.
This is called Raja Rishi. He was a Raja Rishi, a great saint.
Byl Raja Rishi, velký světec.
He was a Raja on one side, king on the other side, Rishi. He was a great saint.
Rádža na jedné straně velký král a Rishi na druhé straně světec.
And these great saintly kings, they would not exploit the citizens, they would live for the citizens.
A tito velcí králové nikdy nevykořisťovali obyvatele, ale žili pro své obyvatele.
They were the greatest servants of the citizens.
Byli to největší služebníci obyvatel.
Like Maharaj Parikshit, his grandfather was such a great king, so saintly, that everybody was happy. The clouds poured rain only at night, and there was no theft, there was no criminality, and the cows, the bags of the cows were full of milk. There was unlimited milk, unlimited wealth in every way because of the saintliness of the king.
Tak jako praotec nebo děd krále Parikšita byl tak svatý, že dokonce, že pršelo z mraků jenom v noci, nebyly žádné, nikdo nic nekrát a všichni se měli dobře.
Because the king is a representative of God.
Protože král je představitelem Boha.
And like Prabhupada, he was a representative of God, or is a representative of God.
Jako Šla Prabhupada je představitel Boha.
So when the representative of God is on earth, then all his followers, they're perfectly taken care of.
Takže když představitel Boha je na zemi, tak potom všichni jeho následovníci o něj je perfektně postaráno.
So whatever he got, this king granted him by the arrangement of God, he would accept it, but not for his own sense gratification.
Takže cokoliv aranžmánem nejvyššího pána krále Rantideva dostal, tak to přijmul, ale ne pro svůj smyslový požitek.
So, if you look at society, Vedic society, first of all, they are the Brahmanas.
Takže když se podíváte na védskou společnost, tak zaprvé jsou tam Brahmani.
And they don't have really a social system.
A oni ve skutečnosti neměli společenský systém.
They actually live in anarchy, that means every, in a good sense, every Brahmana was living for himself.
Takže v dobrém slova smyslu oni žijí v anarchii, to znamená, že každý Brahmana žije sám za sebe.
And then for the rest of society there is monarchy.
A pro zbytek společnosti je monarchie.
Then everybody follows the king.
Kdy každý následuje krále.
Now, when the Brahminical society fails, just like we have this history that Sringa, the son of a Brahmana, he insulted Maharaj Parikshit by hanging his father was not received by the Brahmana well, and so he hanged a dead snake around the neck of a Brahmana.
Tak stejně jako Sringi vzal nebo se urazil, když viděl, že Maharaj Parikshit pověsil toho mrtvého hada na krk Brahmany.
So the son of this Brahmana Sringi, when he came back from the river where he took bath, he saw that his father had been insulted by the king. So he cursed the king that he would die within 7 days.
Takže když se Sringi vrátil ze své koupely v řece a viděl, že Brahmana byl uražený Maharajem Parikshita, tak ho proklel, aby zemřel za 7 dní.
And in this way actually the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken. We all know that story.
A ve skutečnosti tak byl vyřčen Srimad Bhagavatam, my všichni známe ten příběh.
So the cursing of Maharaj Parikshit had two effects. On one side, the whole Brahminical caste fell down from that very moment.
Takže to prokletí mělo takové dva efekty. Jedna věc byla, že v tu chvíli poklesla celá brahmanská společnost.
But on the good side, in this Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Shukadeva Goswami because Maharaj Parikshit was fasting for 7 days to die.
A dobrá věc se stala, že byl vyřčen Srimad Bhagavatam Shukadevam Goswamim, protože Maharaj Parikshit se 7 dní postil.
So you see, he was a saintly king, Maharaj Parikshit, and so his son.
Takže vidíte, že Maharaj Parikshit byl svatý král a také jeho syn, král Rantideva.
So coming back to the social system, when order fails and they fall into Maya, then the symptom is that they want to have the Brahminical order hereditary. That means that the son of a Brahmana is automatically the Brahman.
Takže co se stává, že když ta brahmanská společnost poklesne, tak potom chtějí, aby to bylo dědičné. To znamená, že syn Brahmany se automaticky stane Brahmanem.
Even if he has bad qualities, he is a Brahman.
Dokonce i když má špatné vlastnosti, tak je brahmana.
Like for example in our own situation, the head of the Brahminical, or excuse me, the head of the Hindu community of Belfast, I will not name his name, but he saw a particular kind of furniture that I made myself in our temple, and he said, you should make one for me and my wife. And I said to him, that's not going to happen. He said, I'm not going to work for anybody in his private enjoyment. My work is going towards Krishna.
Tak jako Belfastu, ten vedoucí hinduistické společnosti jednou viděl, jak jsem vyrobil kus nábytku a řekl, že by to také chtěl, abych mu to vyrobil pro jeho a jeho manželku. A já jsem řekl, nebudu nic nikdy dělat, co by bylo pro někoho privátně, jenom pro Krišnu. A ten muž se velice rozlobil a řekl, tak ty takhle neposlechneš brahmanu?
And I said, Mr. Shukla. I was Shukla means Brahmin, white. I said, Mr. Shukla, I have been in your shop recently and I saw corned beef in your shop. You're selling corned beef, it is coming from cows. So how are you Brahmin?
Tak pane Shukla, já jsem viděl, když jsem byl nedávno v vašem obchodě, že tam máte kus hovězího, tak jak se můžete prohlašovat za Brahmanu?
How can a Brahmin have a shop? Second of all, how can he possibly sell cow's meat in his shop?
Takže jak za prvé, aby brahmana vůbec mohl mít nějaký obchod a za druhý, jak by mu tam mohl mít kus hovězího. Takže to nebyl žádný brahmana, byl to falešný brahmana.
This is a symptom of Kali Yuga that people call themselves brahmana and kshatriya and vaishya and this and that, although they do not have the quality of brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya.
Takže to je příznak Kali Yugi, že lidé se prohlašují za brahmanu, kšatriu, vajšu, ale nemají k tomu příslušné vlastnosti.
So while when the Brahminical order develops this misconception that Brahman is hereditary by birth, kshatriyas were the next group who thought this is a very jolly idea, jolly good idea. We want to have the same thing. Our sons automatically become kings.
Takže když bráhmani začnou rozvíjet tenhle ten nápad, že být bráhmanou je dědičné, tak kšatriové taky začnou dělat to stejné, že naši synové se stanou dalšími krály.
And this is the present situation that the kings are not really kingly, they're not really on the level of being kings, because by birth they become king.
Takže to je v skutečnosti ty postavení teď v současné době, že králové nejsou ve skutečnosti králi, ale jenom na základě zrození se stanou králi.
This is not the original system. Like Prabhupada told us, the king of Jaipur originally to become the king, the son, to become actually the king, to be accepted as a king, he had to go out into the forest and kill a tiger with his own hands.
Jako nám Prabhupada přímo řekl, že král Jaipuru říkal, že aby se jeho syn stal králem, tak musí jít do lesa a tam svýma holýma rukama zabít tygra.
He just had a knife.
A nejenom s nožem.
Prabhupada explained how he would do that. He would lie on a branch. He would study when the tiger would come along. He would lie on the branch, on top of the tiger, and then he would fall down on the tiger on his back and took his knife and cut his throat.
Takže Prabhupada vysvětlil, že se to dělá tak, že by si lehnul na větev nahoru, počkal, až přijde ten tiger a potom na něj skočil ze zhora a zabil ho, propíchnul tím nožem.
He would come to the palace with his tiger, dragging this tiger behind himself on his tail, and his hands full of blood, and he was bathed in a ceremony and installed as a king.
A tak by se vrátil do toho království, za sebou by táhnul tygra, byl by celý od krve a takhle by byl ustanoven dalším králem.
So then the next cast, they thought, well, if the king is hereditary, then we also become hereditary. And in this way you have this hereditary system that you become member of a particular caste in India by birth. And this is actually starting from Sringi, the original cause of the break of the Brahminical caste.
Takže ve skutečnosti Sringi byl ten první, který zlomil tu brahmanskou kastu a potom se začal praktikovat tento systém, že je to vždycky dědičné.
And it is nonsense because Krishna says, not by birth, but quality. Chaturvanamayashishtam guna karma vibhagasaha. And I installed the Brahminical system at four classes, Chaturvana, four vanas, Chaturvanamayashishtam guna karma vibhagasaha, by guna, quality, and by karma, by activity.
Takže Krišna říká v Bhagavad Gita, že já jsem ustanovil tento varnášramský systém na základě guny, což je vlastnost, a karmy, činností.
So Lord Chaitanya actually, he pointed this out to the Brahmins, not by birth. According to Bhagavad Gita, it's by quality.
Takže pan Chaitanya na to poukázal Brahmanům, že to není na základě zrození, ale na základě vlastností.
And therefore the Brahmins, so-called Brahmins, tried to kill Lord Chaitanya.
A proto takzvaní brahmani se snažili zabít pána Chaitanyu.
And you also know the story that there was a school for Brahmins. I forgot the details who was the teacher. And there was one boy arriving at the school. He said, "Can I be in your school?" And the teacher asked him, "Are you a Brahmana?"
Takže také je takový příběh, že existovala škola a tam přišel jeden žák a ten učitel se ho zeptal, nebo ten žák se zeptal, můžu tady chodit do školy, a učitel se ho zeptal, seš brahmanou?
I don't know, my father is dead.
On říkal, já nevím, můj otec je mrtvý.
He said, you should ask your mother, who is your father, because she must know.
A on, ten učitel řekl, musíš se zeptat svojí matky, kdo je otec, protože ona to musí vědět.
And he said, I already asked my father, my mother, and she doesn't know, because she had so many lovers. She don't know who is actually my father.
Já jsem se už zeptal svojí matky, ale ona mi řekla, že ve skutečnosti neví, kdo je můj otec, protože měla tolik milenců, že neví.
So this was actually an amazing confession that this boy admitted to the, or told the Brahmana that my mother has had many lovers, you know, so I don't know who's my father.
Takže to už bylo velké přiznání, že tento chlapec řekl, moje matka měla tolik milenců, že nevím, kdo je mým otcem.
So the teacher said, you are Brahmana because you're honest. Honesty is a quality of a Brahmana. Because you have the quality of a Brahmana, you are a Brahmana, you can enter my school.
Řekl, protože ten učitel mu řekl, jsi brahmana, protože jsi poctivý, protože jsi popravdě řekl, tak můžeš potom vstoupit do mojí školy.
One belongs to a certain caste due to guna and karma. That's the point, as Krishna explained in Bhagavad Gita.
Takže člověk náleží k nějaké kastě na základě guny a karmy. To je to, o čem mluví Krishna v Bhagavad Gita.
Now, properly explained, when the brahminical class of people falls down, then as next kshatriya class of people fall down.
Takže Prabhupád vysvětlil, že nejdřív, když poklesnou brahmani, tak další třída, která poklesne, jsou kshatriové.
So first the original society is actually led by the brahminical caste.
Takže ta původní společnost je ve skutečnosti vedena brahmanskou třídou.
They are advising the king.
Oni radí králi.
They're advising the king.
Oni radí králi.
You see, even in ancient Greek society, there's this bottle there. There's a bottle. In Greek society, you also see this in the ancient Greek society that the government was invested in the king. However, he was under the control of the sages. It is called the Areopag in Greek history. The Areopag are the council of the sages, and they advise the king, and the king has to act according to the advice of the sages, the Brahminical class. This is in Greek, even Greek society 3,000, 4,000 years ago.
Takže vidíme, že tenhle ten stejný systém následovala i starořecká společnost před 3,000 nebo 4,000 lety, že tam byl král, ale on se řídil pokyny mudrců, to se pak nazývalo Areopág.
King in India, he didn't make any decisions without the brahmanas.
Že král by neudělal žádné rozhodnutí bez brahmanů.
And so then there's the father of King Pitu. What was his name? Who knows the father of King Pitu?
Jak se jmenoval král, otec krále Pitua?
Ha?
Vena.
Vena. Mm-hmm. See, Vena, he was a bad king, and he wouldn't listen to the Brahmanas.
Vena byl špatný král, a on neposlouchal Brahmany.
And he did so many unbrahminical, impious things.
A on
by
dělal,
disturbing the brahminical class and by killing people left and right, he was an unworthy king. So the Brahmins tried to instruct him, they couldn't, and so finally they killed him.
Takže by mantra. Vena byl špatný král, který pořád rušil Brahmany a zabíjel lidi vlevo, vpravo, takže oni potom, když viděli, že on je neposlouchá, tak ho zabili.
They turned his legs and out of his abdomen King Prithu was born. Out of the churning of King Vena, the saintly King Prithu was born, who was actually a Shaktivishavata of Vishnu.
Takže oni potom vykvedlali jeho ruce a z břicha potom vzniknul Prithu Maharaj, který je Shaktivesha avatar pána Vishnu.
So you see how the Vedic culture was working. You see, ultimately the people who made the decision was not the king. It was the Brahmins.
Takže vidíme, jak ta vedská společnost fungovala. Ti, kteří dělají rozhodnutí, nebyl král, ale Brahmani.
So when the Brahminical order fails, then the Kshatriyas become overly powerful and arrogant monarchy.
Takže když vidíme, že ti Brahmani poklesnou, tak potom ti kšatriové začnou být velice mocní.
Not monarchy, but it is monarchy by nature. The king is the ruler.
Takže monarchie znamená, že ten král je vládcem.
And so Kamsa, he was a king like this.
Takže Kamsa tímhletím způsobem byl králem.
He was a bad king, and so he was killed by Krishna.
Byl to špatný král, a proto byl zabitý Krishnou.
And so if you look at the Brahmin, if you look at the kings in our modern times, they are not really kings. They occupy the position of king and they enjoy the privileges of the king, but they're just enjoying, they're not serving the citizens.
Takže když vidíme krále v současné době, tak oni jenom mají tu pozici a privilegia si vyžadují, ale ve skutečnosti se nestarají o obyvatele.
So when monarchy failed, like we saw this in Germany, we saw this in Russia also, when the monarchy fell, then the next step it is then the mercantile class takes over, like you can see this in Germany. First there was King William II, and then when he fell, you had a revolution and the mercantile people took over.
Takže jak vidíte v Německu nebo v Rusku, když potom ti králové už nefungují, tak potom to všechno převezme společnost obchodníků, jako tam byl král William II a potom začali vládnout jako v dnešní době obchodníci. Vidíte to?
After the king failed, the next group that took over the government were the bourgeois, the citizens.
Takže vidíte, jak během francouzské revoluce ti, kteří potom převzali vládu, byli obyvatelé, ta buržoazie.
And they killed the monarchs, like Marie Antoinette, the queen of France. She was one of the people of the highest order who was killed.
Takže oni potom zabili ty vládce, jako byla Marie Antoinette.
These people they enjoyed like anything at the cost of the ordinary citizen instead of serving the citizen.
Takže tito králové si užívali na účet těch obyvatel, místo toho, aby se o ně starali.
So there was a great famine in France. Some of the grain harvest failed. And so millions of people had no food.
Takže potom tam byl velký hladomor a lidé neměli co jíst ve Francii.
So millions of people gathered in front of this is in the 17th, 18th century. Millions of people gathered in front of the palace of the king, the Marie Antoinette. She was a famous queen. She went out and said, "What do you people want?"
Takže potom miliony lidí se shromáždili v 18. století před tím palácem Marie Antoinette. Ona vyšla ven a říkala, co chcete lidi?
She said, "We have no grain. We don't know what to eat. Please help us."
Oni říkali, my nemáme žádné obilí, nemáme co jíst, prosím, pomoz nám.
We have no bread.
Nemáme chleba.
And she answered to the people, then why don't you eat cake?
Tak potom odpověděla.
she, was so, she was so out of touch with reality because she was just enjoying in that palace, you know. If you don't have bread, why don't you just eat cake, you know?
Tak lidé řekli, my nemáme chleba, a ona říkala, tak proč nejíte koláče? Když nemáte chleba, tak si sníste koláče. Ona byla tak mimo realitu, že vůbec nevěděla, co se děje, protože si užívala v paláci.
So this message traveled to all of France within hours. This outrageous statement of the queen. And so 1 week later she was beheaded. She was beheaded in Palais de Tuileries in Paris, and she was no more because she angered the people.
Takže ona tak rozčílila lidi, že potom tahle zpráva o tom, co řekla, se rozšířila po celém království a za týden jí stěli hlavu.
And that is the beginning of the French Revolution, which became a bourgeoisie, the citizens took over. Dominical failed, the kingly class failed, then the general citizens take over to run the government.
Takže nejdřív poklesla ta brahmanská společnost, potom kšatrijská, a tohle byl začátek té francouzské revoluce, kdy vlastně buržuazie neboli ty obchodníci převzali celou vládu.
So I mean, now when that fails, when the government of the citizen fails, in Germany you have seen, you can clearly see this. After, in the 30s, after that, the next step, first there's Brahminical, then there's Kshatriya, then the citizen, if this fails, there will be dictatorship, and so Hitler came into power.
Takže jako vidíte, v 30. letech v Německu nejdřív poklesla ta brahmanská společnost, potom kšatrijská, potom ta obchodnická a potom přijde diktátor, jako byl Hitler.
Albert said, after Brahminical, then Kshatriya, after Kshatriya, the citizens, when that fails, dictatorship, and when that fails, anarchy.
Takže Prabhupád říkal, nejdřív poklesne brahmanská třída, potom ty kšatrijové, potom to přemoznou obyvatele, potom přijde diktátor a nakonec je to všechno potom anarchie.
And that is the end of society.
A to je konec společnosti.
Anarchy, you know?
Anarchie.
So, just like there's one American famous professor for sociology, he explained that in this very Roman society, Greek society, all great societies, they have a life cycle. They're born, they stay, they become less, and ultimately they are destroyed. Roman society, for example. And the interesting thing is that he said that the symptoms of a decaying society, when the society is coming to the end, are debauchery, that people live like cats and dogs, homosexuality on a huge level, and I'm sorry to say it, I hope I don't become assassinated, feminism. It's one of the symptoms that the society is coming to the end.
Takže jeden americký profesor sociologie řekl, že znakem, když společnost už končí, jako byla například římská společnost, řecká společnost, je, že se začnou různé druhy zvrhlictví provozovat, homosexualita, doufám, že mě nikdo nezastřelí, a taky feminismus.
I can tell you that because you're kind of more traditional in your way of thinking, but I won't say it in the internet public because I want to avoid being crucified by the feminists.
Takže já vám to můžu říct, protože vy jste takový více jako tradičnější. Já nemohl bych to říct v mezinárodním fóru, protože bych byl ukřižován feministkami.
You see, if the mother is not anymore the mother, but she wants to be the ruler, she wants to compete with her husband, it is the beginning of the destruction of the family. The family is the smallest building block society. And Varnashram Dharma starts right there, by the family. So the husband is a husband, and the father and the mother, she's a mother and the wife, period. And everyone has his particular kind of duties. That's the ancient family system that works since time immemorial. That actually works. If you take that away, the family decays. The wife becomes a terrorist, and the husband becomes less and less functional. Ultimately, he just becomes a seat giver who supplies a seat. And in the next stage, the man will run away from the women. They don't want to marry anymore because they can't take it. And consequently, the women will be completely alone when they're old. They will be alone. They will regret. and they actually killed their mainstay in their life, namely the husband.
Takže tohle to se děje, že když potom ženy chtějí soutěžit s manželi a stát se vládcema, tak se potom stanou jako teroristky a manželé potom utečou z domova a potom ta nejmenší vlastně základní jednotka Varnashrama Dharmy, jako je rodina, tak nemůže fungovat.
So let me explain the sociology again, so that you can remember. So the middle class fails, the next thing is the kshatriyas, they become corrupt. Monarchy is still there, but the kshatriyas are not really monarchs. You know, they're enjoying, like you, I mean, I was, happened to be invited one time to the marriage of a very big aristocrat. He is a representative of the Queen in Northern Ireland, and he owned 2 million acres of land, which is a lot. He has a gigantic castle, and I became friend with him. And when the Queen had her jubilee, she stayed in his castle. The castle is about 5 kilometers away from our island, Inishrath Island, which was originally owned by that family.
Takže já jsem jednou v Irsku navštívil svatbu od jednoho bohatého aristokrata, který tam má ohromný zámek a 2 miliony hektarů a i nedaleko našeho chrámu. A když královna přijela tam, tak byla ubytovaná v tom jeho zámku.
So after first was married, I was there with my wife. I had a huge turban, silk turban. I was had 33 buttons on my Nehru coat, which was made out of silk, and I pointed shoes. I was dressed, you know, just like in a Indian fairy tale.
Takže já jsem
and
byl,
everybody liked it.
Já jsem byl oblečený jak z indické pohádky. Měl jsem na hlavě velikánský turban, potom takový špičatý boty, 32 kunafíků.
My wife had a very costly sari. So the women, I mean, English aristocracy is connected to England, India since a long time. They appreciate it very highly.
Moje manželka má drahé sáry, takže protože ta britská aristokracie je spojená s Indií, tak si to hodně toho vážili.
So first there was a marriage in the castle, then there was a reception that the husband and wife sit on the throne, and after that, husband and wife leave in a horse-driven cart into nowhere. They go for their whatever honeymoon, and then only the men are there and the women, and the kind of things I heard when they talk about the first night in the married life was actually not, socially acceptable. It was lewd. It was rather, you shouldn't talk like this about a woman and a man in their first night. I was shocked that these aristocrats, I cannot see in my family that this type of talk would have been supported. At home, impossible. You wouldn't hear that. It was pornography.
Takže potom po té svatbě byla hostina, byla recepce, kdy ten novomanžel s novomanželkou seděli na trůnech a potom je v koňském spřežení odvezli někam pryč a tam zůstali jenom muži.
It was the last thing that I would accept from an aristocratic gathering.
Takže tam potom zůstali jenom ti muži a ty mluvili tak strašným způsobem o té první noci, že bych tohle to vůbec nečekal od irské aristokracie. U nás doma se takhle nikdy nemluvilo.
You see clearly how society decays. From the Brahminical class down to the Kshatriya class, the Kshatriya class fails, then the bourgeoisie takes over, the citizens take over. Like America is who's running the American government? Robert said it's shopkeeper's nation. Who has the most money, he becomes influential. Like you see the last president of the United States. I mean, he's a classic example of a money man, that's all, and he has no brain to govern. He absolutely no brain to govern. You know, it's a worse example of a president at this time in the world. You know, nobody is more dumb than him to be in that position.
Takže Prabhupád říkal, že nejdřív poklesnou bráhmani, potom kšatriové a potom obchodníci se ujmou vlády. Jako vidíte, že teď v Americe ten prezident byl jenom takový obchodník, který měl peníze, ale úplně hloupý, neměl vůbec žádnou kvalifikaci, aby mohl vládnout.
And so you see how then the government run by money and power becomes corrupt and the next step is really like we have seen in Germany, dictatorship, Hitler comes to power.
Takže když vidíme, že potom vlastně vládne jenom síla a peníze, tak potom nastane diktátorství a potom se k moci dostal Hitler například v Německu.
After democracy fails, dictatorship is the next step.
Takže potom, co skončí demokracie, tak nastane diktátorství.
And we may always see this in our own countries as time develops.
A my to budeme vidíme i v našich zemích, jak potom čas bude pokračovat, že se to vyvine do diktátorství.
And when that fails, anarchy comes.
A když tohle přestane fungovat, tak přijde anarchie.
And that means the society has come to the end of the life cycle. Like we all have a life cycle. Everybody sits in this room, including myself, we have a life cycle. Birth, old age, disease and ultimately death. You can't change that because we are in the material world.
Takže my všichni, jak tady sedíme v té místnosti, tak máme životní cyklus, což je zrození, stáří, nemoc a smrti. A stejně tak i společnost má nějaký životní cyklus.
And we see this, we all know the downfall of the Roman Empire, that there was so much debauchery and killing of the innocent and complete chaos broke out. Ultimately, it was the end of the Roman Empire. They didn't have the power anymore to maintain anything. Everything broke down. And wild people came from outside, like the Huns, and they destroyed the Roman Empire completely. This is how society ends. And then a new society starts.
Takže vidíme, jako to římská říše, jak byl její pád. Teď jsem to zapomněl. Že potom začne spoustu zvrhlostí a tím vlastně celá společnost potom skončí.
Now after we took this detour, you know, to get you an understanding how society works. And I know a little bit about it because I studied sociology, which is exactly what we are talking about here, the anatomy of a society, how society develops and how society decays. That's sociology. So let us get back now to the actual hero of this story, namely King Rantidev.
Takže já jsem studoval sociologii, takže tohle tím způsobem vidíme, jak se společnost vyvíjí a potom také, jak padá. A teď se vrátíme k našemu původnímu příběhu krále Rantideva.
King Rantideva was glorious.
Král Rantideva byl slavný.
He underwent huge amount of austerity for the sake of the citizens.
Že udělal velké odříkání pro blaho těch občanů.
He said here, Rantidev never endeavored to earn anything. He would enjoy whatever he got by the arrangement of God. But when guests came, he would give them everything. Thus he underwent considerable suffering along with the members of his family. Indeed, he and his family members shivered sometimes and want for food and water. And Rantidev always remained sober once after fasting for 48 days. My God, I mean, how long can you fast? In 48 days, I fasted one time for quite a bit. But you see, after 40 days, what happens to the body? The body starts to digest itself. That actually happens. Anybody who knows about fasting, he finds that 40 days is kind of the cut-off point.
Takže tady vidíme napsaný, že král Rantideva se postil 48 dní a všichni, kdo drželi půsty, jako já jsem držel, tak po 40 dnech se začne to tělo požírat samo sebe. Takže to je takový bod, kdy člověk musí přestat.
First, when you start fasting, you have appetite. You want to eat. As time goes on, you lose more and more appetite. By the time to come to the 40th day, and the body starts digesting itself, all of a sudden you develop a huge hunger to eat.
Takže to je to, co se děje, že když se člověk postí, nejdřív máte chuť k jídlu, potom postupně ztrácíte a potom, když se dostanete do 40. dne, kdy to tělo začne konzumovat sebe samo, tak dostanete ohromný hlad.
This is how the body saves himself from destruction.
Tak to je způsob, jakým se to tělo zachrání od zničení.
And in every tradition, whether it's Buddhist, whether it's Christian, Muslim, whenever people fast, they come into this border. You know, it's kind of like the sound barrier where you must eat because otherwise you die.
Takže to je v jakékoliv tradici, buddhistické, křesťanské, muslimské, že když se potom dojde do tohoto 40. dne, tak člověk musí přerušit půst, jinak zemře.
And since you all come from a Christian background, more or less, Jesus went into the desert and he fasted for 40 days.
Takže protože vy všichni pocházíte z křesťanského pozadí, tak Ježíš, když šel do pouště, tak tam se postil 40 dní.
And remember, after 40 days, all of a sudden, you develop an enormous hunger, the body, to survive.
Takže po těch 40 dnech vyvinete strašně velký hlad toho těla, aby přežilo.
Then in the Bible it is described the devil came.
Takže v Biblii je popsáno, že přišel ďábel.
Maya personified.
Zosobněná Maya.
And he said, Master, if you say one word, the bread, the stones will turn into bread.
A řekl, pane, když řeknete jedno slovo, tak potom to kamení se přemění na chléb.
In this way he tried to deceive him.
A tak se ho snažil podvést.
He said, I give you the power. I will give you the power to turn these stones into bread. Just say one word to me, I will do it. And Jesus said, get out of here. You are a demon. And the demon disappeared.
Takže on říkal, já vám dám tu sílu, jenom když řeknete jedno slovo, jedno slovo mi řeknete, tak změním tyhle ty kameny na chléb. A Ježíš řekl, vypadni odsud.
It's actually an interesting story.
To je zajímavý příběh.
Randideva, he was fasting, and then after fasting for 48 days, he received some water and some foodstuffs made by milk and ghee.
Takže potom, co se král Randideva postil těch 48 dní, tak dostal jenom nějakou vodu, kterou měl vypít.
So they were at the end of their life, practically speaking, when finally they could eat, and at that time, lo and behold, a brahmana, a guest appeared.
Takže když potom...
So the brahmana, he took his share and left.
Takže ten brahmana vzal svůj podíl a potom odešel.
And then after that, King Rantideva divided the remaining food his relatives.
A potom to zbytek jídla se Randidev podělil se svými příbuznými.
This is verse number 7 of the 21st chapter. After dividing his food with his relatives, Randidev was just about to eat his own share when a Sudra arrived.
Že poté...
See the Sudra in relationship with the Supreme Lord, because Prabhupada shows this example when he was leaving the body. The last sentence he told us was everything moving and non-moving, there's nothing but Krishna.
Že poté Randideva, který se o zbylé jídlo podělil se svými příbuznými, chtěl právě začít jíst svou porci. Když toho navštívil Šudra, král viděl tohoto Šudru ve vztahu s nejvyšší osobností božství a také mu dal část jídla. A Prabhupád, když opouštěl tento svět, tak řekl, že všechno pohyblivé i nehybné jsou součástí Krišny.
So Randideva could understand that he was sent by Krishna, this chandala.
Že Randideva mohl pochopit, že tento chandala byl poslán Krishnou.
Because a pure devotee, one who sees me everywhere, yomam prashyati savatra savam chamai prashyati, does yaham na pranashyami satchamanya pranashyati, one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I'm never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. So he could understand that Krishna came in this form of this Shudra.
Takže Randideva mohl pochopit, že Krishna přišel v podobě tohoto Shudry, protože jak je řečeno v Bhagavad Gita, že ten, kdo mi slouží, tak se nikdy nestratí.
That even if in our life somebody, we will find situations, somebody takes away something we have.
Takže
somebody will destroy.
V našem životě, když vidíme, že někdo nám vezme něco, co jsme udělali, co jsme postavili.
You will always see that you have something, somebody will come and wants it.
Že jakmile něco máme, tak někdo přijde a bude to chtít.
The more you have, the more people want to take from you.
Víc toho, čím víc toho máte, tak tím víc lidé toho od vás chtějí vzít.
Even if you build up some institution, some temple, somebody comes and destroys it. I have personal experience of this.
Takže dokonce, když uděláte nějakou instituci, něco postavíte, tak lidi přijdou a chtějí to od vás vzít. Já s tím mám zkušenost.
Or somebody drives his car into you. Somebody causes you to suffer an accident.
Takže když máte auto, které řídíte, tak někdo zapříčiní, abyste měli nehodu.
Or somebody comes to steal your money.
Někdo přijde, aby vám ukradl peníze.
You should always understand that in the ultimate analysis, you should always understand that in the ultimate analysis, it is never between you and them. It is between you and Krishna at every moment.
Takže v konečné analýze byste měli pochopit, že to není vy a oni, ale že v konečném slova smyslu jste to vy a Krishna, který je za vším.
In the past, when we were in the spiritual world, it was only between me and Krishna. It always is. While we're in the material world, whatever happens to us, ultimately, we have to see Krishna's hands in that. And in future, it will be the same. The Prabhupada said, I read it to you, when a devotee is in distress, he sees that the Lord has appeared as distress just to relieve or purify the devotee from the contamination of the material world.
Takže Prabhupada tady píše, že Prabhupada tady píše, že když oddaný je nešťastný, tak zatím neštěstím vidí Krišnu, který přišel, aby ho zbavil toho znečištění.
While one is in the material world, one is in various conditions.
Když je člověk v hmotném světě, tak je pod různými podmínkami.
And therefore a devotee sees the condition of distress as but another feature of the Lord, like King Vanti Devi said, well, God came to me in the form of a sutra.
Takže potom jenom oddaný vidí, že Krišna přišel v jiné podobě, v podobě toho neštěstí, stejně jako Rantideva viděl, že přišel v podobě toho šudry.
This is verse, Tatinu Kampa, Pamsu Mikshamanu, that devotee regards any type of distress as a great favor of the Lord, because he understands that he's been cleansed from material contamination.
Jako oddaný potom ví, že jakékoliv neštěstí je milost nejvyššího pána, aby byl očištěn od jakéhokoliv znečištění.
So this is the position of a saintly person, that he sees God in everything, and if there's distress, he can understand that this distress is actually but another form of Krishna.
Takže tahle to je pozice čistého oddaného, že vidí, že dokonce i neštěstí není nic jiného než Krishna samotný.
It's a very important point to remember. That whatever happens to us, good or bad, ultimately it is coming from Krishna directly.
Takže bychom si vždycky měli pamatovat na to, že ať se nám děje cokoliv dobré nebo špatné, tak to přímo přichází od Krishny.
It's not between you and them, it's only between you and Krishna.
Není to mezi váma a nimi, ale je to skutečně mezi váma a Krishnou.
So this king Randidevi understood that.
Takže král
saw the sudra in relationship to the supreme personality of God, and he gave him another share of his food.
Takže král viděl tohoto šudru ve vztahu s nejvyšší osobností božství a také mu dal část jídla.
And when the sudra went away, another guest arrived, surrounded by dogs, and said, "O king, I and my company of dogs are very hungry. Please give us something to eat."
Jakmile šudra odešel, objevil se tam další host doprovázený psy a řekl, o králi, já a moji psi máme velký hlad. Prosím, dej nám něco najíst.
Imagine you have fasted for a long time and then somebody puts a huge pizza in front of you. And you're just about to bite in this pizza and somebody said, hold on a minute, I'm a brahmana, you have to feed me first, you know. I mean, I'm sure we all feel the pain of that moment. If I just want to eat, somebody comes in and you say, oh my God, somebody comes in and I have to share with me that pizza that I've been waiting for.
Takže jako si dovedete představit, že když se dlouho postíte a někdo před vás dá kousek pici a vy už to chcete strčit do pusy, ale přijde nějaký brahmana, který to chce od vás, tak úplně cítím bolest toho okamžiku, kdybyste se s ním měli rozdělit.
So here we see this great respect King Ranjideev offered the balance of the food to the dogs and the master of the dogs who had come as guests.
S velkou úctou věnoval král Ramtideva zbytek jídla psům a jejich pánovi, který ho přišli navštívit. Král jim vzdával veškerou úctu a poklonil se jim.
He was so merciful that he gave everything. There was no food left. He gave every morsel of food to a variety of visitors that he was convinced were sent by God to test him.
Takže on dal každý zbytek jídla, každou porci těm návštěvníkům, o kterých byl, svým hostům, o kterých byl přesvědčen, že je poslal Krišna.
There was only the drinking water left.
Potom už zbývala jenom pitná voda.
And there was only enough to satisfy one person, but when the king just was about to drink, a channel appeared and said, "Oh king, although I'm low on, kindly give me some drinking water." And he gave this drinking water away.
Potom už zbývala jen pitná voda, která by stačila pro jednu osobu, ale když se jí král chystal vypít, objevil se Čandála a řekl, o králi, jsem sice nízkého původu, ale dej mi prosím napít trochu vody.
He was not lamenting his own position, that he had neither something to eat, neither something to drink. He lamented the position of his poor fellow, the Chandala, who came to him to eat, and he gave him everything.
A tak nenaříkal nad tím, že už mu nezbylo nic k jídlu ani k pití, tak jenom naříkal nad postavením toho Čandály.
And then he said, it says here, aggrieved by the pitiful words that this man said, please give me something to eat, Maharaj Rantideva spoke the following nectarian words.
Maharaj Rantideva zesmutnil, když slyšel žalostná slova nebohého znaveného Čandály a pronesl slova podobná nektaru.
And then he says, I do not pray to the Supreme Lord for eight mystic perfections.
Nemodlím se k nejvyšší osobnosti božství o osm dokonalostí mystické jógy.
Nor do I pray for salvation from repeated birth and death.
Ani o osvobození z koloběhu narození a smrti.
I want only to stay among all the living entities and suffer all the distress on their behalf so that they may be free from suffering.
Chci jenom zůstat se všemi živými bytostmi a snášet za ně všechno neštěstí, aby nemuseli trpět.
So this is a mentality of a pure soul that he is so, distressed by seeing the distress of others that he wants to give even his life.
Takže tohle to vidíme postoj čisté duše, která je nešťastná, když vidí, že ostatní jsou nešťastní až do té míry, že chce dát svůj vlastní život.
He is free from envy.
Je prostý závisti.
Material life. And we see the demon sees somebody else suffer. He goes, very good, very good, excellent. He's suffering.
Vidíme v hmotném světě, když nějaký démon vidí někoho trpět, tak se říká, oh, to je výborné, výborné, že trpí.
He enjoys the suffering of others.
A užívá si to utrpení někoho jiného.
When he sees somebody successful, he becomes angry and envious. If somebody suffers, he enjoys.
Takže když někdo trpí, tak se užívá a když někdo je úspěšný, tak mu závidí.
And very different is the mentality as given by Lord Chaitanya that I do not care, Lord Chaitanya says, for my personal happiness and distress.
Jako pán Chaitanya Mahaprabhu říká, já se nestarám o svoje osobní štěstí a neštěstí.
I care only for the happiness of Krishna.
Jediné, o co se zajímám, je štěstí Krishny.
But that's the mentality of a devotee. He doesn't think about himself. His own, and we are far away from that. I have to admit, I'm far away from that too. That we think in terms of our own satisfaction.
Takže my jsme daleko od tohoto pochopení. Mluvím i za sebe, že to je daleko od toho, abychom neviděli věci pro vlastní uspokojení.
Particularly in the beginning stages of Krishna consciousness.
Zvláště na začátku vědomí Krishna.
We want to serve Krishna so that we can go back to the spiritual world.
My chceme sloužit Krišnovi, abychom mohli jít zpátky do duchovního světa.
But a pure devotee like Lord Chaitanya, he says, I don't care for my personal happiness, I can care only for Krishna's happiness. And the gopis are the example. They would give their life for Krishna. They have their head in their mind. Please Krishna, let me make Krishna happy. That is samsiri hari toshanam. Is this verse, Atha Bhumbiya Dvija Shrishta Varnashrama Bhagasas Vanushitasya Dharmasya that the whole goal of the Vanasham Dharma system and the goal of human life is samsidhir haritoshan, a pleasure to God.
Takže to je cílem lidského života, samsidhir haritoshana, uspokojovat nejvyššího pána.
So Lord Chaitanya says, I do not care for my personal happiness, I care only for Krishna's happiness, and now comes the astounding sentence, and if it were, would Krishna make happy to see me in distress, then this distress is the greatest of my happiness.
Takže Chaitanya Mahaprabhu říká, že já se nestarám o svoje štěstí nebo neštěstí, a dokonce říká, že když moje neštěstí je Krišnovo štěstí, tak potom jsem šťastný.
That is so amazing.
Tak tohle to je tak překvapivé. Že ten, kdo má tu červenou kapucu, tak spí tady někde.
So in any case, you see, that is the mentality that pure devotee is only concerned with Krishna's help.
Takže ta mentalita čistého daného, který se zajímá jenom o službu Krišnovi.
And in material life, the Sanskrit sentence that is given to us is aham purva, me first, me first, me first.
Takže tu větu, kterou nám dávají, je já první, já první.
And when the demons were fighting over the nectar, the eternal nectar that came out of the ocean, they're screaming, me first, me first, me first. I want to be satisfied first. That is the mentality of materialists, me first.
Takže to je mentalita těch materialistů. Stejně jako když démoni dostali ten nektar, který vytloukli, tak říkali, já první, já první.
Whereas the mentality of devotee is Krishna first.
Když to mentalita odaného je Krishna na prvním místě.
My mother also, she was, I told this many times, she was a kind of pious Christian lady, and she would say to me, first God, then God, then God, then the others, then the others, then the others, and then yourself, in that order.
Takže jako mě moje maminka vždycky říkala, že je to v tomhle tom pořadí. Jenom Bůh, 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 potom ostatní, ostatní, ostatní a ty až nakonec.
And she was living like this. The children were everything for her.
A ona takhle žila, její děti byly pro ní všechno.
So this is an idea that our Krishna conscious movement is learning to love Krishna and do everything for Krishna to make Krishna happy, like the gopis did. They're the prime example of people who would give everything to Krishna, even their life.
Takže to je vlastně, o co tady jde ve vědomí Krishna. Že gopi také říkali, že pro Krishnu dají všechno i své životy.
And I want to give you an example of our own situation with Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was living in the Radha Damoda temple.
Takže vám také řeknu příběh z našeho života. Srila Prabhupada žil v Radha Damodara chrámu.
Before he came to America.
Předtím, než přišel do Ameriky.
And he was very sick.
A byl velice nemocný.
So in winter, Srila Prabhupada had high fever and he was sleeping on a mat, on a very thin straw mat that you can roll up like this, on the cold floor in Radha Damodara temple.
Takže v zimě Prabhupada byl velice nemocný a ležel na takové tenké madraci, kterou můžete takhle svalovat v Radha Damodara chrámu.
So no, I lived quite a lot of my time in Vrindavan and I have a very fat mattress there. And still, when it came cold, you know, this year, as soon as it became too cold, I moved to Bombay because the weather in Bombay is perfect. I couldn't take it.
Takže já jsem teď dlouho žil ve Vrindavanu a i když jsem měl i takovou tlustou madraci, tak když přišla zima, tak jsem se přestěhoval do Bombay, protože tady je dokonalé počasí.
And so I'm here, we have 32 degrees sunshine all day from 7 o'clock in the morning to 7 in the evening.
Takže my tady máme 32 stupňů a sluníčko od 7 od rána do 7 do večera.
What's your temperature there during the day?
Která je vaše, jaká je vaše teplota během dne?
Minus 2.
My máme minus 2.
All jump on a plane and come to Bombay.
Tak byste všichni měli naskákat do letadla a letět do Bombaje.
Minus 2. So Vrindavan can be very cold in winter and Prabhupada was lying on a straw mattress. And his godbrothers came, two godbrothers, and said, Prabhu, you have to get bad, otherwise you will die.
Takže tam Prabhupád ležel v té zimě, na té studené podlaze, na madraci z rákosí, která byla velice tenká, a jeho duchovní bratři přišli a říkali, musíte mít nějakou postel, jinak zemřete.
And Prabhupád said, I want to use every single rupee for book distribution.
A Prabhupád řekl, já chci použít každou rupí pro rozdávání knížek.
Imagine that.
Tak to si jenom představte.
High fever, very cold, lying on a straw mattress, on a very cold floor of Vrindavan, and he says, I don't want to spend a penny for a mattress, every penny for book distribution. This is the nature of a great saint. He wants to just satisfy Krishna, whatever it takes.
Takže si to jenom představte s vysokou horečkou na té studené podlaze a on přesto říká, že chce každý halíř zaměstnat v rozdávání knížek.
Why is that his mentality? Because he is so full of Krishna.
A proč má takovou mentalitu? Protože je plný Krishny.
When one is full of Krishna, when one is nourished, spiritually nourished like Srila Prabhupada, he doesn't care for anything anymore.
Že když je někdo tak duchovně plný, jako byl Srila Prabhupáda, tak už se o nic jiného než o Krišnu nestará.
And one is willing to give up everything.
A jsme připraveni se vzdát čehokoliv.
For the sake of Krishna.
Pro Krišnu.
So we are not on this platform. I'm sitting in front of you and drinking my orange juice.
Takže my nejsme na té úrovni. Já tady před váma sedím a piju pomerančový džus.
We are in the beginning of Krishna consciousness.
Já jsem na začátku vědomí Krišny.
So this king ultimately went so far that when he had nothing more to give and somebody came and asked, he would cut, I think Lord Indra came in the form of a pigeon, pigeon wanted some food, he would cut his arm and take a piece out and feed it. He was willing to give up his body.
Takže král Rantideva dokonce se chtěl vzdát svého těla, že když přišel holub, tak si uříz kus masa. Takže to vidíte v životě velkých osobností, jako Ježíš dal svůj život pro lidskou společnost.
Because he knew if he would go through the suffering of crucifixion, people would take him serious. As he is somebody, it was the will of God that he had been crucified, he would say, your will be done. In heaven as on earth, and he suffered through it so that people could see he is a man who nothing is more important than to fulfill the will of God, even if I have to give my life.
Takže Ježíš se nechal ukřižovat proto, protože věděl, že potom lidé budou brát vážně.
And consequently, for the last 2,000 years, so many people have been inspired by this example and followed him. In some way, in little way, but they followed.
A tak vidíme, že posledních 2000 let lidé nějakým způsobem ho následují, trošku, ale následují.
And so their philosophy is that Jesus, he died for our sins.
Takže ta filozofie je, že zemřel za naše hříchy.
It's not our philosophy.
Ale to není naše filozofie.
It is Christian interpretation of the suffering of Jesus.
Tak to je křesťanská interpretace utrpení Ježíše. Takže Bhaktivinoda Thakur, tady to mám před sebou, říká o tomhle, s tom, že Ježíš přišel, aby zemřel za naše hříchy, tak tomu říká, že to je velice divoký nápad. Tohle to je interpretace.
It is because they couldn't understand how a pure devotee can suffer. He suffers from the love of God. I mean, who was it? Vasudev Datta. He said, my dear Lord to Lord Chaitanya, if I can free humanity, let me suffer their sinful reactions, the sinful reactions of the whole universe.
Jako Vasudeva Datta říkal, kdybych mohl osvobodit lidskou společnost, tak ať trpím za celý vesmír.
So this is a mentality of a pure devotee. He's willing to take, because it's true, it says in Hari Bhakti Vilas, that if somebody, the spiritual master, takes some sort of reactions of the sins of his disciples. The verse is just like the king takes some reactions of the sinful activities of the citizen. The spiritual master takes some, the king, spiritual master takes some reactions of his citizens, and the husband takes the sinful reactions of the wife, and that's why the wife must follow the husband, because he takes her spiritual, at least that she has to do, because he takes actually some sort of the sinful reactions.
Takže je řečeno, že jako král přijímá nějaký druh hříšných činností za své obyvatele, duchovní mistr za své žáky, tak dokonce i manžel za manželku. Takže to je, proč by manželka měla následovat svého manžela, protože on od ní bere hříšné reakce.
So Rantidev was such an extraordinary king that he would do everything for the sake of the well-being of the citizens, even giving his own life.
Takže Rantideva byl takový úžasný král, který udělal všechno pro prospěch svých obyvatelů, dokonce i to, že by se vzdal svého života.
So, it's 1:21 p.m. here in Bombay. I started at 12:15. That's 1 hour and 6 minutes. The lecture. And now, do you have any questions?
Takže teďko jsem dával přednášku hodinu a 6 minut. Tady je půl jedné, půl druhé, tak jestli máte nějaké otázky.
This is big Brahmachari sitting right in front of me.
Tady je jeden Brahmachari, který se vidí přímo přede mnou.
What is your name, Prabhu? Rajendranath, you must have a question.
Ty musíš mít otázku. So how can I please Krishna? Because can you hear me?
Almost.
How can I please Krishna without thinking about myself? Because I all the time think about satisfying myself instead of satisfying Krishna.
He repeats it again. He always thinks of purifying himself instead of satisfying Krishna, or what?
Yeah. How? Because how to go about it? That he's thinking about satisfying himself all the time, whereas he should think how to satisfy Krishna. So, what can he do?
You see, this is a good question.
Takže to, to je dobrá otázka.
The answer, believe me or not, can only come from Krishna himself.
Takže věř mi nebo nevěř, ta odpověď může přijít jenom od Krishny samotného.
If you have a question, Prabhupada advises us we should not go to Radha Krishna because they're in the Goloka Dham Leela. We should go, and Rani is more merciful than Krishna. Lord Chaitanya is more merciful than Radharani, and Lord Nityananda is more merciful than Lord Chaitanya. We should go to Lord Nityananda. Whatever our problem should be, Prabhupada told us, I heard it myself, we should always ask Lord Nityananda for the answer.
Takže
whatever the question may be.
Já jsem slyšel přímo od Prabhupády, že když máme jakoukoliv otázku, neměli bychom jít za Radha Krishna, protože oni jsou plně absorbovaní ve svých zábavách, ani dokonce za Radharani, nebo Chaitanou Mahaprabhuem, ale měli bychom jít za Nityanandou Prabhu, ať už máme jakoukoliv otázku.
Because he is a manifestation of the super soul.
Protože on je manifestací na duše.
So we should ask Lord Nityananda, you have a problem, somebody else has another problem, or maybe in the form of a woman, or maybe in the form of a man, or maybe low in Krishna consciousness, or short in Krishna consciousness, happy in Krishna consciousness, unhappy in Krishna consciousness, or maybe skinny, or maybe fat. It doesn't matter. We should always go to Lord Nityananda.
A tak, když jsme v ženském těle, mužském těle, jsme šťastní nebo nešťastní, jsme hubení nebo tlustí, vždycky bychom měli za pánem Nityanandou, když máme otázku.
Nitya Pada Kamala, that the lotus feet of Krishna, Chaitanya, are more merciful than thousands of moons.
Je řečeno, že lotosové nohy pána Nityanandy jsou milostivější než tisíce měsíců.
So this is the answer to your question, that you have to approach Lord Nityananda. He's the most important deity for any devotee on this planet. He is coming particularly to save the fallen souls. He's more merciful than Lord Chaitanya himself. And if you have any kind of problems, troubles, just go to Lord Nityananda. I preach this all the time wherever I go, because that's the truth.
Tak já kážu tohleto, ať jdu kamkoliv, protože to je pravda, že ať máš jakýkoliv problém, tak by si vždycky měl jít za pánem Nityanandou.
See, we have these nine processes of devotional service. Shravanam, beginning with Shravanam and Kirtanam.
Máme těhle devět procesů odané služby, počínaje Shravanam Kirtanam.
Shravanam means hearing.
Shravanam znamená naslouchání.
And when we read Srila Prabhupada's books,
a když čteme Prabhupádovy knížky,
when we hear Srila Prabhupada,
nebo když nasloucháme Prabhupádovi,
no, Krishna, no, and the Upanishad says, Asmin vijyate sarvameva vijyatam bhavanti. If you simply understand the Supreme Absolute, then you understand everything. So, this Krishna consciousness name is, it includes everything. The karma, karmis, activities, creative actions, the jnanis, philosophers, speculation, the yogis, mystic powers, and bhaktas, devotees, worship of the Lord, everything is included.
See? So by hearing Srila Prabhupada, you associate with Srila Prabhupada.
Takže naslouchání Srila Prabhupádovi, my se s ním združujeme.
Whether in books or whether in tapes. We say even 1 minute of association with devotees is more important than anything else. So we can associate there on this tape recorder in 3,000 lectures. We can immediately associate with Prabhupada.
Takže tady samozřejmě okamžitě združovat se Šilou Prabhupádou, ať už buď to čteme jeho knížky nebo z nahrávek, jako tady v tom aparátu, tak mám 3,000 přednášek. Nebo můžeme číst jeho knihy.
In the same way, when we read Srila Prabhupada's books, we associate with Srila Prabhupada.
A stejným způsobem, když čteme Prabhupádovy knížky, tak se združujeme se Šilou Prabhupádou.
So we can associate with Prabhupada from one moment to another.
Takže my se můžeme združovat s Prabhupádou z okamžiku na okamžik.
One devotee yesterday in Bombay asked me, I said, you're fortunate. He said, you associated with Prabhupada, we are not so fortunate.
Když jeden odaný tady v Bombaji mi řekl, vy jste takový, měte štěstí, že jste byl s Prabhupádou, my tohleto štěstí nemáme.
And my answer is, you are as fortunate as anybody else who actually hears Srila Prabhupada in terms of audio or hears Srila Prabhupada in terms of his books.
Já jsem mu řekl, ty máš štěstí jako kdokoliv jiný, když se združuješ s Prabhupádem skrz tohleto audio nebo skrz čtení jeho knížek.
Because Prabhupada is in his books.
Protože Prabhupád je ve svých knížkách.
So in the same way, we can associate with Krishna immediately if we take our bead back and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Rama. Immediately we are associating with Krishna.
Stejně tak se můžeme okamžitě združovat s Krishnou, když se mám džepovací pitlík a zpíváme Hare Krishna.
We have this good fortune that we can associate with Krishna, we can associate with Srila Prabhupada at every single moment of our life. We just hear and chant.
Jako máme to velké štěstí, že se můžeme združovat s Krishnou a se Šilou Prabhupádou, že jenom nasloucháme a opěvujeme.
And if we do that, then Krishna and Srila Prabhupada is with us.
Takže když tohle to uděláte, tak potom Krishna a Srila Prabhupada je s námi.
So for that there's another one of the processes of devotional life is vandanam, that we have to pray.
A tady potom další proces odané služby, což je vandanam, že se musíme modlit.
To pray to Lord Nityananda specifically, like for example, you want to chant nicely, you have to pray to Lord Nityananda, please allow me to chant nicely.
Jako když například chcete pěkně zpívat, tak se máte modlit Nityanandovi. Prosím, pane Nityanando, dovol mi, abych mohl pěkně zpívat. Can you put the problem? Can you repeat it because it froze. The picture froze. So if you can just repeat the last sentence.
Vandanam, very important. This is an activity which is in Krishna conscious movement a little underrated. It's very important.
Takže tohleto vandanam neboli modlení je podceněno ve hnutí pro vědomí Krišny.
Please help me that I can chant properly.
Prosím, pomoz mi, abych mohl správně zpívat.
Please help me that I can become serious about spiritual life.
Prosím, pomoz mi, abych se stal vážným, co se týká duchovního života.
Please help me that I can chant perfectly.
Prosím, pomoz mi, abych mohl dokonale zpívat.
Please help me that I don't become distracted while chanting Hare Krishna.
A prosím, dovol mi, abych nebyl rozptylován během zpívání Hare Krishna.
As far as distraction is concerned.
A co se týká rozptýlení? Haridas Thakur říká.
He said in Hainam Chintamani. He said, no one in this world is able to chant Hare Krishna mantra without distraction. Not one person.
Jako Haridas Thakur říká v Harinama Chintamani, že nikdo v tomto světě, dokonce ani jedna osoba, není schopná čentovat bez rozptýlení.
That's you, that's me, everyone.
Takže to jsem já, to jste vy, to jsme všichni.
Such ability to chant without distraction is coming only by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya.
Řečeno, že zpívat bez rozptýlení je jedině možná milostí pána Čejtany, proto se musím modlit o jeho milost. Takže my se musíme snažit co nejvíce, zbytek o to se postará Krishna.
We have to ask Lord Chaitanya, we have to ask Lord Nityananda, please help me to stand, please help me to concentrate, please help me to live a pure life, please help me to get away from my anatas. You have to pray for that.
Takže musím se modlit, prosím, pomoz mi, abych se zbavil svých anart, abych žil čistý život, abych mohl pěkně zpívat, musíme se o to modlit.
This is the way how we come to perfection.
Takže tohle je způsob, jak dosáhneme dokonalosti.
How can I? Well, by the grace of Krishna you can. How do I get Krishna's grace? By praying for it.
Takže to je odpověď na tvoji otázku, jak to můžu dosáhnout Krišnovou milostí. A jak tu milost můžeš dosáhnout, že se budeš modlit.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So nice to be here.
Hare Krishna.
Any other question?
Ještě nějaká otázka?
What is that? Okay. Priya Kirti Prabhu, I see your face, but the unfortunate thing is you have the sunshine in the back and so I cannot see your face. Can you turn around and show me your face? This is better. This is much better.
Hare Krishna, bro.
I remember you, Priya Kirti.
Thank you very much.
I remember you well.
Thank you.
Now, let's go.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the very inspiring lecture. I just have short question regarding your quote that when wife follows husband, she burns karmic reactions. So I am curious, please, if you can tell me where can I find some Shastric support for this. It sounds very interesting for me.
Takže děkuji za vaši pěknou přednášku, jenom jak jste citoval, že když manželka následuje svého manžela, tak tím pálí své hříšné reakce, tak jestli byste jim mohl říct, kde to je někde zapsáno, abych to mohl použít.
I have it on my computer, but I will not be able to say it from one moment to another. All you do is you send me your WhatsApp and I will send you the quote. It's from Hari Bhakti Vilas.
Takže to je Hari Bhakti Vilas, když mi pošleš svůj WhatsApp kontakt, tak já ti to pošlu přímo ten citát.
I may just give it a try. Let me just give you husband. aspects, the reactions of life. I can't find it, but I will find it. I have it on my computer somewhere.
Okay, no problem. I will send my WhatsApp.
Okay.
Can I have...
Send it to my WhatsApp.
Okay, I will do.
But it's very clearly stated in Shastra. There's no doubt about it. Otherwise, I wouldn't say.
Takže to jasně řečeno v Šástře, o tom není žádný pochyb, jinak bych to neříkal.
I found it. Hi, Bhaktivilas. First chapter 77.
Takže to je první kapitola Hari Bhaktivilas, verš 77.
Just as the king has to take responsibility for the faults of his ministers.
Stejně jako král přebírá zodpovědnost za chyby svých ministrů.
Just as a husband has to take the responsibility for the sins of his wife.
Jako manžel bere zodpovědnost za hříchy své manželky.
A spiritual master has to accept the accumulated sins of his disciples.
Tak duchovní mistr musí přijmout ty nashromážděné hříšné reakce svých žáků.
That's in High Bhakti Vilas, verse number 177.
Takže to je High Bhakti Vilas, verš číslo 177.
And let me do a new favor. Now, one second. Can you see that?
Yes.
Yes.
Vidíte to?
Right there.
Přímo tady. Vidíte celou tu věc?
Yeah. Take out your iPhone or whatever you have and make a photo of it.
Takže vemte si své iPhone nebo cokoliv máte, udělejte to fotku.
You ready?
Thank you very much.
So you should read this to your wife, and therefore you should tell her she should make me pizza today.
Takže tohle to přečti svojí manželky a řekni, a proto bys mi dneska měla udělat pizzu.
Thank you very much.
You're proud, Parakita.
Jai.
Jai. Hare Krishna.
So, Parakita, is that okay? Can I go?
Je to v pořádku? Můžu už jít?
Yeah, very nice. I like it anytime. You know, anytime I do it. Like the other day, I had a conference in Russia, and I had a conference in Africa a couple of weeks ago. And I go all over the world with conferences. You know, this was the first time, by the way, in Europe. You know, I'm here. You know, and I love to give Zooms. Last week I had four. Different conferences in 2 days.
Takže minulý týden jsem měl 4 konference během 2 dní. Jsem mluvil do Ruska, potom do Afriky a vy jste první v Evropě.
Anytime. How can I serve you?
It's Tatmavada's, it's my...
Oh, that's Tatmavada, I'm sorry.
Tatmavada, who is from... Hi, great to just hear you.
Hi, Krishna.
Yeah, maybe some seminar to Finland as well.
Good to see you. Yes, you have to invite me. I come by Zoom conference or physically once the corona is finished.
Yeah. Finland is not finished, but corona's hopefully soon. Yeah, it's a long time you visited here last time.
Yeah, long time, I remember.
Jai, great to see you again.
Thank you very much. So, Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Let us all chant Hare Krishna together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.